Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. God bless you and heaven smile upon you. This is Brother Chris Robertson. I'm so glad to be with you today. This is the Hope Forum radio show, brought to you every Saturday morning by the Churches of God in Christ of the Central Pennsylvania area, with Bishop Benjamin J. Ravenel as president, Bishop David Scriven as the theologian. We have so many great pastors on board with us that just helps us to make that day really go good and bright. And we're thankful to God for you. Thank God for you, our listeners. You that have just joined us recently, we just pray on an end to the Blog Talk Radio. Hopefully that it has inspired you. Maybe you will do your own radio show soon. And I tell you, it's very easy, and it's a wonderful thing to do. I think that the ministry of evangelism is just awesome. And our bishop has the desire to reach the whole world. So therefore, we are www. And love every minute of it. Looking forward to all of you to be a blessing to us and help us here. And you can do that by giving us a call at 646-915-8259. 646-915. Can't answer you right away. I'll just leave your phone number and we'll call you right back as soon as the program's over. But we'd like to speak to you live. We're live every Saturday morning. We're live. I broadcast with the person sitting right here in front of your computer, namely Brother Chris Robertson, Brother Tom Danner, Charles Henderson, Larry Buchanan, others, Andrew Waters. Oh my, there were just so many of us on here at one time. But we're grateful to be here today. The weather is extremely cold, and I just know that you're not going to be getting out anywhere. So if you're not going out, why don't you pick up your tune in to us right now? That's Blog Talk Radio, the Hope Forum, a relevant word for comfort and hope. A relevant word for comfort and hope. It's easy to reach us, and they give us a call and let us know that you're on the air with us. We're blessed and not afraid. Okay, let me give you the rundown of our protocol for our churches. At the Cross Church, pastored by Elder Christian Robertson. The Bible Way Church is pastored by Elder Robert Woodall. The Emmanuel Church is pastored by Bishop David Scrivens. The Faith Temple Church is pastored by Elder Ishmael Garcia. The City of Refuge is pastored by Pastor Vernell Sims. The Grace Tabernacle is pastored by Pastor Walter Green. The Lingo Memorial Church is pastored by President Bishop Ravenel. The Millennium Neighborhood Church is pastored by Pastor Truman Marshall. The Bible Christian Fellowship is pastored by David Green. And Upon This Rock is pastored by Elder William Hines. Family of God is pastored by Elder James Campbell. The Mount Calvary Church is pastored by the Superintendent, D.R. Gilmore. And the Shekinah Glory is pastored by Elder Asuqua F.B.I., a friend and brother. We're grateful to have you present with us. Would you go to the Lord with me in prayer? Let's believe God for great things today. Father, we thank you in Jesus for your grace and for your mercy. Thank you for giving us another glorious day. We appreciate every moment, every hour. And we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Lord, we love you. And we praise and bless your name. We ask for clarity of speech, to know how to say what to say, when to say it, and that your glory shall be revealed. Somebody will be edified, that your glory shall be revealed. The enemy of our soul and salvation will be terrified, and that the people of God will be built up in their most holy faith, that the righteousness of God shall be available and shall be comprehended, also accepted by the world that we live in today. I pray for every nation, every kindred, every tongue. I pray for every leader, wherever they may be, and by land and by sea, that matter, Lord, as long as you are leading them, we will be led in a proper way. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I pray that you would just be glorified in this world. I pray that every nation, every kindred, and every tongue, God, that they would hear your word, that your word will have proper effect on their lives, to turn to you and cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We love you, Lord. We bless you. We know that your word will not return void, but it will accomplish just what it's chosen to do. And we thank you for that message. We bless you and glorify you. Now let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my poor, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That's the truth. And that is the truth. Word of God for the people of God. And the subject today is God, our righteousness. And we being people of God, we are the righteousness of God. Just looking forward to God speaking to our heart. Next week, Tuesday, it will begin the district Commonwealth Jurisdiction Church of God in Christ, especially the Harrisburg District, will host their biannual district meeting. The Superintendent Dr. Gilmore is presiding, and Mother Katie S. Allen will be presiding in the Women's Department. So we're looking forward to seeing you Tuesday through Saturday and being a blessing and looking for a blessing. And we just hope that God will just bless you and do great things in your life. And I want you to know that service every night just going all change. The district choir will be singing. Joanne Hill operates in that field, and she will be directing that choir in a mighty way. So we're looking forward to you. If you're not a member of the choir, why don't you join us? Give us 100 voices and just let the Lord bless you real good. The district meeting will be held at the Mount Calvary Church of God in Christ at 5th and Minnick Street. 5th and Minnick, where the Superintendent Don Gilmore is the pastor. Elder Effion will be hosting the district meeting this week, and he will be the preacher on Wednesday night. Bishop Benjamin Ravenel, President of Hope, the prelate of the Commonwealth Jurisdiction Church of God in Christ, and he's a pastor in the Harrisburg District. He will be preaching on Tuesday. And so we're looking forward to that. On Thursday, Mother E.D.S. Allen will be the host on that Thursday, and the ladies of the church will be in session. They will do a great job. And on Friday, the superintendent of the Churches of God in Christ of the Harrisburg District, he will be the messenger for this, and we will hear our annual message from the superintendent on Friday evening. And Saturday evening will be the youth of our church, the YPWW, and the Sunday school. Robert Woodall, he will be conducting on Saturday, and Sister Roseanne Cooksey for the YPWW. I think she's going to be the preacher on Saturday evening. So you want to make sure that you come out and be blessed and be a blessing in that great meeting on next week. All right. I read the scripture today from the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 33rd verse. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All these things will be given to you as well. God and his righteousness. The righteousness of God is what he is in character. The righteousness of God includes all of his commandments and goes even beyond these. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is the righteousness of God and the covenant of God with his people. We are to make seeking God righteousness the first priority of our lives. But this is difficult, Paul, at least for me, to get hold of. What does it mean to seek God's righteousness? I believe the conclusion in today's Christian thinking that we should not try to work up some righteous behavior of our own, but should trust that God counts us righteous by the fact that we believe in Christ and that we are identified with Christ. God is righteous. Christ is righteous. We are unrighteous in behavior, but God deems us righteous because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Only belief. We could derive the same assurance from the following passage. In the day Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which you will be called, the Lord our. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. It is absolutely true that when we are a true disciple of the Lord Jesus, our name is the righteousness of God. When we are true disciples of Jesus Christ, then our righteousness is of God, the Lord, our righteousness. Our name is to be changed. We are to take on a new character, a new form, a new lifestyle, new hope, new joy. And it's all by faith. We're not saved by works, lest we should boast about it, but it is the gift of God, the faith in Jesus Christ. While it is understandable from having such a name that we might conclude God has attributed righteousness to us because of our association with the righteous. Right. This conclusion leaves these huge questions unanswered. First, if the Christian salvation consists primarily of Christ's righteous attributes to us, why does the Apostle Paul state if we believe, continue in unrighteous conduct, we will not inherit the kingdom of God? Second, since we know the New Jerusalem will not consist of believers who are unrighteous in behavior, how, when, and where do we make the transition from unrighteous behavior to righteous, holy behavior? Third, if our salvation consists primarily of Christ's righteousness, why does the Lord tell us that in the end of the age, his angels will remove from his kingdom all behavior that offends God? I have never heard these three questions answered from clear passages of Scripture kept in context. My opinion at this point is that gaining God's righteousness is by no means limited to having the righteousness of Christ attributed to us. I don't think that this is what the expression means, except in a limited initial sense. I do not believe being saved by grace means God refers to the members of his kingdom as righteous, even though they are continuing in the filthy conduct of the sinful nature. When I first became a Christian, I was presented with two verses. I was attaining the basic idea of salvation. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. But my instructor did not ask the next verse from Ephesians 2 and 10. Apart from the text verse, leaves an entirely incorrect view of the Christian salvation. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The above verse can lead us to a biblical understanding of how we actually possess God's righteousness, how it is that we can be called the Lord our righteous. First of all, we are God's workmanship. We have been created in Christ Jesus to do good work. We have not been created to go to heaven, to lay on a couch in our mansion. We have been created to do good work. We have been created to do good work. I am repeating this idea because it is almost never mentioned in Christian circles. Where do these good works come from? They come from God in Christ. God is dwelling in Christ, who is dwelling in us. Their righteousness becomes our righteousness when we have been crucified, and they are living in us. We have been predestined to be the moral image of Jesus Christ, our older brother. As he is, so are we in this world. We are to reveal his life in us. This is salvation and the new covenant. But then a mysterious thought is added, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We have been created to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. What do you think this means? Jesus advised us to let our light shine that people might see our good work, and because of them glorify God. What good work? The Lord Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. In other words, we who claim to be part of Jesus Christ ought always to have behaved ourselves as he behaved himself. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself. Just as do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is like it. We can behave ourselves as Jesus behaves himself only as we are dead to our sinful nature, and it is Christ who is living his life in us. We understand, therefore, that seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness is not primarily a matter of having good attributes, right standing to us because of our belief in Jesus Christ, but of revealing in ourselves God's righteous character and his kingdom. There's an awesome gulf between those hold only to the idea of Christ's righteousness being attributed to us and continue in our ungodly behavior. Then there is no kingdom of God, no doing of God's will in the earth. It is this misunderstanding that has created the poor testimony of the church during the past year. When a new moral creation has been brought forth, it is because we have not been abiding in Christ. Rather, we have been trusting in a legalistic kind of grace, the perversion of true divine grace. Right? We have changed divine grace into a license for immorality, as Jude states. But let us return to the enigmatic statement. We have been created to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Stern obedience to the Father. The fruit of our unrighteousness, fair and holiness, and stern obedience to the Father is morally upright, compensated, compassionate behavior coming from those who are walking humbly with God. We have been created that we might walk upright, show mercy to people, listen to the will of our Father in heaven. So far, so good. I don't think any Christian will find fault with those above statements. But one puzzle aspect remains, which God prepares in advance for us to do. To answer this question, we will have the universe. And even before God created the firmament of heaven, the sky, and the other, and outer space, God and Christ were living in the spirit realm, surrounded by a vast number of angelic beings. It is my viewpoint that none of these angelic beings possessed a conscience or was capable of moral judgment as God and people are. I do not think God at this time had ever defined righteousness as specific behavior. I think righteousness exists, but it is not codified righteousness at that time, so automatically it needs for judgment. Judgment must proceed in terms of you may do this, but you may not do that. It seems to me you cannot make a moral judgment unless there exists a clear standard, a distinction between right and wrong. I do not believe the angels had a concept of you may do that but not that. They merely existed in the bliss of God's presence. In fact, it is my point of view that the Ten Commandments actually are a judgment against Satan and his angels, and that they understand this. They now are learning what righteousness is, a concept not known to them before the law was given by Moses. I believe God created man to demonstrate righteous behavior in the sight of all the angels. I think man was created to be God's judge and ruler, with the Lord Jesus Christ himself being the chief judge and ruler. On this basis, God brought into existence the new race of humans who have a conscience, who are capable of moral judgment. Through them, what is good and what is evil can be revealed to the inhabitants of the heavens as well as the people on the earth, be living epistles that all of God's creatures might learn the difference between good and evil. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God chose you and me, each Christian, to perform certain good works. Obviously, we do not all do the same good work, but we press forward toward our individual mark. We are saved by grace through faith, the salvation that God gives to us. We did not earn it by keeping the law of Moses or any other code of religious or moral behavior. The purpose in saving us is that the angels and the inhabitants of the earth might see and understand the difference between good and evil. In the middle of the Garden of Eden, God placed the tree of life and the tree of knowledge, good and evil. It my opinion that both of these trees reflect the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sign of spiritual maturity is that we can discern between good and evil, and are willing and able to choose the good and reject the evil. But we cannot attain such maturity except as the Lord Jesus Christ, who himself is the eternal law of God, made flesh, has formed in us, trained himself to distinguish good from evil. This last time in Hebrews 5:15. The mistake Adam and Eve made was to partake of the knowledge of good and evil before they partook of the tree of life. They were slain by the eternal mortal law of God before they had a chance to partake of the life of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul stated that the same was true of him before he received Christ. The law of Moses killed him. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandments, deceived, and though the commandments put me to death. God gave his elect the law of Moses in order to control sin before the seed of Abraham, the Lord Jesus Christ, appeared on the earth. Then through the Lord Jesus, and through the Lord Jesus, through the apostles, God's holy commandments were issued. The New Testament contained numerous commandments that we must observe if we are to enter eternal life. God also gave us the blood of the Lord Jesus so we can enter the most holy places in heaven and receive strength to help us overcome worldliness, the lust of our flesh, and the self-will. Commandments are steps back to the original righteousness, the righteousness the angel experienced before the creation of the world and yet did not comprehend. This is the righteousness which is God himself, his moral character. The end of the new covenant is that God's moral character might be written in our minds and hearts. Then we are in fact the righteousness of God. What is Christ in us who is living? Our inward nature has been transformed by the Holy Spirit into the image of the glory of the Lord. Then the Father and the Son make their eternal home in our transformed inward nature. Now we indeed are the righteousness of God, not an attribute righteousness, a legal mind righteousness, but an actual righteousness of personality. I do not think any Christian would disagree with me that we have been called to show forth the righteous character of Jesus Christ in our life. The problem in today's thinking pertains to how we are to arrive at the place where God's righteousness is revealed in us. I am correct. The assumption is made in Christian thinking that somehow in the future God is going to remove our sinful nature and replace it with his own righteous nature. In the meantime, we are saved by grace, meaning God's righteousness is attributed to us because we believe in Christ. And while we ought to behave righteously for salvation, the result is other religions and governments of the world despise Christian America as the great Satan. Why is this? It is because of the way we behave. We do not understand the new covenant. We have made the grace of God a license for immoral behavior. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are the godless men who changed the grace of God into a license for immorality and denied Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. How does one change the grace of God into a license for immorality and deny the lordship of Jesus Christ? By doing as we do today, when we are warned about fornication, pornography, profanity, the love of money, gossip, hatred, jealousy, strife, and the other works of the flesh, we say, "But I am saved by grace, not by works of righteousness I have done." Quoting a Bible statement out of context, thus we turn the grace of God into a life for immorality. Also, we deny the claim of Jesus Christ. We are willing to accept Jesus Christ as Savior, but not as our personal Lord, who has the absolute right to tell us what we can and cannot do. Previously, we mentioned three questions that must be answered from the Scripture. If we're going to maintain that to have God's righteousness means only that we have believed in Jesus Christ, and God, therefore, attributes righteousness to us. The three questions are as follows. First, if the Christian salvation consists primarily of Christ's righteousness attributed to us, why does the Apostle Paul state, if we believe continued in unrighteous conduct, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and hypocrisy, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, rage, selfish ambition, dissension, faction, and envy, drunkenness, orgy, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, those who live like this, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. I've never heard a minister of the gospel address this issue clearly and scripturally. It always seems to be avoided. It is my opinion that teachers of the gospel should not maintain that to have God's righteousness, it is necessary only to believe in Christ. That godly conduct is not an integral. Those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. I don't think we could persist in our point of view until this inconsistency is answered clearly from passages from the New Testament, kept in context. Second, since we know that New Jerusalem will not consist of the believers who are unrighteous in behavior, how, when, and where do we make the transition from unrighteous behavior to righteous, holy behavior? There is no clear statement in the New Testament kept in context that informs us that when we die, we will suddenly be made righteous, or that when the Lord Jesus appears, we will suddenly be made righteous. The parable of the foolish virgin and the man who buried his talent shows us plainly that when the Lord appears, he will treat us. We have served him. The master of this slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, in an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces, find him a place with the unbeliever. The above verse obviously is referring to the Lord's servant. How can we maintain that Christ will make us righteous when he appears, when the word informs us that he will punish the sinful believer when he comes? If we explain away Luke 12:46 by maintaining that such verses do not apply to Christians, then how can we insist that the Lord's explanation about the necessity for being born again applies to Christians? How can we pick and choose what words of Christ we will accept and what we'll reject? Are we not interpreting the word of God in a private manner according to our own notion? Third, if our salvation consists primarily of Christ's righteousness attributed to us and righteous behavior no longer is necessary, why does the Lord tell us that at the end of the age, his angel will remove from his kingdom all behavior that offends God? The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom, everything that causes sin, and all who do evil. Are we Christians not part of the kingdom of God that will display righteous? If actual righteousness on our part is not necessary, why would God remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil? I think it's obvious we have misunderstood the concept of our having God's righteousness. It is not true that his righteousness is merely assigned to us, except in an initial temporary sense. It is rather that his righteous character enters our personality and changes it until we reveal in ourselves the good work that God always performs. It is this righteousness in us, portrayed in our conduct, that is the goal of a new covenant. Our sinful nature is destroyed, and its place is taken by the righteous character. Go about having our sinful nature destroyed and its place taken over by the righteousness of God in Christ. We have to do what Christ and his apostles command. First of all, we have to count that we have been crucified with Christ and now are alive by his life. Our born-again inward nature already has been raised in Christ to the right hand of God. We absolutely must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. We must do this each day. Each day we must look to Jesus for his will. For the day we must turn aside from our love of the world, the lust of our eyes, the lust of our flesh, the pride of our life, and especially our self-will. Deny ourselves. Until we deny our self-will, we cannot possibly enter the kingdom of God. All the Christian righteous activity in the world will never, never, never compensate for our unwillingness to surrender our will to Jesus Christ. the great fork in the road that faces the Christian believer today is whether he is willing to forsake his own religious ambition and striving and bring all of his gifts to Jesus Christ, that Jesus may use them as he will. We hear of many exciting programs that will save all the people in the world, but we do not hear very often of someone who is dropping his own notion of doing great things for God in favor of turning. If we become the righteousness of God, we must pray every day until we know we are in tune with the Lord Jesus. We must meditate in the scriptures, every day. We must, if possible, gather regularly with fervent believers, placing ourselves under the oversight of the godly elders of the assembly. We must give of our means, serve, and seek the ministry and gifts of the Spirit, that we may help build each member of the assembly to maturity, as measured by the stature of the fullness of Christ. We absolutely must offer our body a living sacrifice to God, being transformed by the renewal of our mind. Only through this means can we discover the will of God for ourselves. We absolutely must walk with accord before the Lord in the open confession of our sins. According to the moral image of Christ, we must quickly, fervently, with all the strength we can muster, denounce and renounce such behavior. Then we must draw near to God and in the future resist the devil when he attempts us along this line. As we read the Bible consistently and prayerfully, being ready to do what God points us out to us, the Lord will show us what must be done that day to change us into the glory of the Lord. If we are faithful and obedient, we shall be to the image of the glory of the Lord. And he who with unveiled faces are reflected the glory of the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Being a saint is a full-time calling. We have to make our walk with the Lord the chief occupation of every day. Even when our secular employment is very demanding, the Spirit of God will show us how to do that. The average American Christian is not close to being the righteousness of God. He has been taught that he is saved by grace, and any moment he is going to be raptured into the paradise so he can lay around in his mansion and do nothing except talk to his friends and rest. He is deceived. The truth is, unless he turns and begins to serve God as the New Testament directs, he will face an angry Christ. His talents will be taken from him and given to another. He will be thrown into the outer darkness. This is what the Bible says. He has no concept of the kingdom of God. He has no idea that when the Lord returns, he is to follow on a war stallion, ready to face the horde of hell. He thinks he will spend eternity in paradise in the Spirit, sending that his task as a member of the body of Christ is to drive all sin and darkness from the earth and to install righteousness, peace, and joy in their place. He is not overcoming the accuser by the blood of the Lamb. He is not overcoming the accuser by the word of his testimony, because his testimony does not line up with the written word of God. He is not overcoming the accuser by loving not his life to the death. He has been taught that God loves him too much to permit him to suffer. Christ became poor so we might be rich. He thinks Christ suffered so he can never will have to suffer. The image, such as the American Christian root of the moral image of Christ, because he is not abiding in Christ. He is filled with the love of the world, the lust of the flesh, and the self-will. He shall be removed from the vine, from Christ, along with those teachers who have cried to him, rapture, 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 grace, 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 heaven, heaven, heaven. He has little in common with the heroes of faith, because his only faith is in a mental ascent to Christian theology. He is not bearing his cross after Christ. He does not know Christ, only the and ways of the church. The path to becoming the righteousness of God is outlined in the New Testament, beginning with Matthew and ending with the book of Revelation. This entire text is inspired by the Holy Spirit and is addressed to Christians. None of it for the Jews. All is directed toward the one seed of Abraham, that is, Jesus Christ, and all who are part of, whether Jewish or Gentile, by physical birth. It is well that the human being, Christians and non-Christians, behave righteously with the moral strength that he has. God will always bless righteous behavior, even when it proceeds from the Adamic nature. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accept men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. But Adamic righteousness, which, while certainly more pleasing to God than no righteousness at all, is a lower level of righteousness. Even though God accepts it and will bless the individual who is truthful, honest, and merciful, the righteousness of God is simply pure and stronger than the best effort in the Adamic nature. The righteousness of God is that which God himself is, his moral nature. It is God's will that his nature be formed in us. When it is God and Christ will come and live forever in the new creation we have become as Christ has been formed in us. The Apostle Paul, quoting from Psalm, has stated, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away, they have together, not even one. Christian teachers teach and emphasize that no one on earth has or ever will live righteous. The conclusion is that we can be righteous only through identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. However, both the Old Testament and the New Testament on many occasions refer to people as righteous even when they were identified with Christ. This is an account of Noah. Noah was a righteous, blameless, among the people of time, and he walked with God. But because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgust, had in mind to divorce her, it's vital. The Bible speaks to numerous instances of righteous people. Then it states that there is not even one righteous person. How do we reconcile this seeming contradiction? It is, as we said, God welcomes every attempt of human beings to live righteously. Unless, of course, they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and seek to employ their own righteousness in place of receiving Christ. At the last judgment, human beings will be judged according to their work. God honors those who, in turn, try to do what is right. To say that it's not true is to deny the clear statement of the Bible. People of the world also honor righteousness, even though they seem to fight against it at times. Because the Christian churches do not preach righteous behavior, the world despises the believer as being no different from themselves. However, it is as we have said, the righteousness of God is a kind of righteousness that far exceeds the attempt of the human being to act according to conscience, and therefore the seeking of God's kingdom and his righteousness. In the first duty of every person, the nation of the earth will not glorify God until we who are Christians began to practice the righteous work for which God has created us in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is well that we bring the gospel to them, but this is not the light that Christ spoke of. The light that Christ referred to consists of our good work. Such good work can be seen in us only as we forsake our sinful nature and embrace the righteousness which is that of God himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the light of the world. City on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it on their bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before men. They may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. It is a major necessity for us to understand that the righteousness which God has for us and the righteousness that we shall live by is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. John 15:1 says, if you abide in me, and by word abide, you shall ask what you will. Ye are the husband. Every branch in me that brings forth my fruit, he purchased it. He cut it off, and it withered. But every branch in me that bears fruit, he purgeth it. He makes it bear much more fruit. And I think that what we're understanding here is that as long as we are using the love language of Jesus Christ, which is obedience to God, we will have righteous standing with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he that doeth righteous is right, and only do righteous as you are in Christ and Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. I trust today that you have heard this word and that you will apply it, that you won't just let it be another word that you've heard, but that you will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might, and that you will let him be the Lord of your life. Let him come in today. Let him come in today. Let me read that scripture again for you. I'm sorry, I quoted 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it, so that it would be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit of itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withered. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and are burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask what you will, and I will be given unto you. This is my Father's glory, bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciple. Jesus is concerned about us, being as he was. He became a perfect example. As the Bible said, that he took on flesh and dwelt among men, that he might show us the righteousness of God. When Adam and Eve had sinned and had been taken out of the Garden of Eden, and so that they would not taste of the tree of life and live continually in sin, what shall we say then to these things? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Concerned about our country, our nation as a whole. When we say that we are Christian, we say we love God and do not his commandments. And his commandments are this, that you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your being, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And in doing that, he said you fulfill the whole law of the prophets and of the law and the prophets. You fulfill all of that when you can love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your being, and then love your neighbor as yourself. This is the work of God, is that we would love one another. Little children, tell them right. Love you one another. For this is of God. And I believe that we have to be mindful that without God, we can do nothing. Without letting Jesus Christ be the Lord of our life, we'll never be able to accomplish the things that Jesus wants us to be. We have a way of establishing our righteousness. We have a way of doing good works, doing good things, helping people, and all of that. And the Bible said that he honors the good work that we do toward one another. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I'm not talking about in word, but I'm talking about in deed. Have you really accepted Jesus Christ? Or have you just learned to know what he said, what the Bible says, what the preacher is preaching? Or have you gotten to know Jesus Christ for yourself? The Lord is the Lord. And he wants you to know him above all, and that you would let him be the Lord of your life. If you haven't, would you pray with me today as we go before the Lord in prayer that he will come into your life, that he would take full control, that he would be Lord. Lord means one who rules. And if you're going to live in the kingdom of God, you're going to have to accept Jesus Christ as Lord. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, it's in the name of Jesus that we come to you. We acknowledge, O God, that we have very much strived to make our own righteousness, that we have taken advantage of your word out of context as often as we have, to do whatever we wanted to do and say, well, God understands, God knows. Everyone, I repent for myself and for everyone that has this bad concept of your righteousness, of your goodness, and of your mercy. I ask that you would forgive us, that you would blot out our transgression, that you would purge us from all iniquity. We want to abide in the vine. You are the vine. We are the branch. We want to abide in you and bear much fruit. So, Father God, come and follow. Give us the blood transfusion. Transform our life to be more like him every day. We want to walk like him, to talk like him, to live like him. That the light of the gospel shall shine forth in our soul, and that the love of God will be brighter and greater than anything that we've ever done. I pray, O God, Father, that you bless our family. Save our sons and our daughters, our sisters and our brothers. Save our loved ones, our wife, our husband. Turn us, O God. Turn us again unto you. And the songwriter said, change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. I won't be like you. You are the potter I'm playing. Mold me and make you. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Change my heart, O God. If you'll do that, please. Please, Lord. Change our heart. Change our heart. Change our way of thinking. Change our way of doing things. O God, that we might do that. Please, that we might be obedient to your every word. You'll mean more to us. We may have a priority about your righteousness as we seek the kingdom of God and your righteousness. Oh God, that your glory shall be revealed to us, that wherever we go, walking, riding, wherever we may be, God, that your glory shall be revealed, and that the Holy Spirit will have preeminence in our lives. We ask thy blessings and thy mercy in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. And for you that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that never accepted him as your personal Savior, would you pray this prayer with me? For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen. God bless you and have a smile upon you, man. We are so grateful to be with you today in this inclement weather. I didn't want to go out this morning. Oh, my, what a glorious day. Thank God for the word today. Matthew 6 and 20:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. And all things shall be added unto you. It is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He said, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Priorities are always that we must seek the kingdom of God. We must seek the righteousness of God. We should know now that we are his righteousness. We are his righteousness, and I praise God for everyone that's lifting up holy hands and walking in the light and showing forth the glory of God wherever you are. Oh, my. Oh, my, what a great day. What a glorious time. Fellowship, Rabbi preaching on GCA, the pastor, Asuka Epia, will be preaching on Wednesday night. Mother Katie Allen will be preaching on Thursday night. Friday night, the superintendent, Don Steele, will be preaching. And on Saturday night, Sister Roseanne Tucci, she will be preaching on Saturday night. Pastor Robert Woodall will be expediting during the service. So we're looking forward to a great time of fellowship at the Lord. Our young people will be on display with their gifts and talents. So you want to make your stuff there available at the Mount Calvary Church of God in Christ at 5th and Minnick Street, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And we're praying for all of those that are less fortunate than we are, those that are sick and afflicted. The McMurray, we're praying for you. God bless you and heaven smile upon you. For the Bryant family, God bless you. We're praying that you be strong in the Lord and the power of this. And for all of you that we have knowledge of, for where the Stanley family, who had gone through a episode yesterday of bereavement, Pastor Mosley and the 12 Stone Church. God will bless you, and heaven will smile upon you. That the glory of the Lord will be revealed in you, and that you will be blessed and highly favored, and that the love of God will be shown abroad in your heart, shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Preach tomorrow, my brother. Let the Lord bless you real good. All of you that have got the doors open in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever you may be, I pray that that word will come forth in power and in the Spirit, and that somebody will be saved, somebody will be delivered, and somebody will be set free on tomorrow. Brother Carr, we're praying for you and hope that you are tuning in on Saturday morning and listen to us. And we're praying that you will be blessed and highly favored, which we know that we haven't forgotten. And love you very dearly and looking forward to seeing you again as soon as you possibly can pick it up. And the Lord bless you real good. For the Bullock family, God bless you and heaven smile upon you. Trust that wherever you're traveling, God give you traveling mercy, that you will be able to go to and fro and be blessed. Be blessed, and that the word of God will dwell in your heart richly by the Holy Ghost. Thank you. God bless you. Smile upon you. Let me see. I don't have any other announcements to make, but I want you to know that we're certainly grateful for your presence today. Let me read the scripture again. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world, sitting on a hill, and not be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men. They may see your good deeds and praise you for that word today. And I was blessed, highly favored to have guided and read it, and then be able to understand more and more about the presence of God and about the righteousness of God. And it's not our righteousness that we stand in. It's the righteousness of God by faith in Jesus Christ. We accept him as our Lord and Savior, and he lives a righteous life through us as we allow ourselves. The book says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of mind. Don't let Brother Will bond the free, saved or unsaved. You know, you don't have to be saved for God to hold you accountable for your unrighteous deeds. And so it's necessary for us to understand that we got to give an account for whatever deeds we've done in the body. We got to give an account for it. So let the Lord bless you and heaven smile upon you. Walk in love. Walk in love, church. Walk in love. For the Hidden family, God bless you. Paul and Gary and Tim, John, be blessed. Lord bless you, Mother Hidden. God bless you. Love you. Appreciate you. The word of God came from your husband that day that caused me to say yes. Lord, my Lord and my Savior, and I've been blessed ever since. It's been now 1967, so this is 2015, there's been 48 years, and we've been highly favored. I just appreciate God with this. I want you to know that God loves you and heaven smile upon you. Our Bishop Benjamin J. Ravenel is our best man of hope, and he wants blessing to you everywhere, every day. You would just continue to walk on by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Let God's righteousness, let it be fulfilled in your life. We can live if we abide in him, and he abides in us. We can live, we can move, we can have our peace. And we will show forth his righteousness and his glory, his love for man and his love for mankind. I just pray that you would just let the Lord bless you, and you be Tanner will be with us on next Saturday for High School Philadelphia. And looking forward to a word from the Lord on next Saturday morning at 8 until 9. This is the Hope Forum, people everywhere, righteous and unrighteous. May you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Give God your heart. Give God your heart. Give God your heart. Let him come in today and abide. The Lord bless you and heaven smile upon you. The nation of the earth will be glorified when God is the center of all our joy. We're blessed and highly favored. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Have a great week. It's going to be cold. Maybe it'll leave snow tomorrow. So be watchful.